Hey Sentinel Warriors, this is Captain Emily Seaton from 20th Air Force Public Affairs, and you are listening to 2420, the podcast that delivers 20th Air Force information in about 20-ish minutes. This episode is about the Stryker Wargaming Center at Kirtland Air Force Base. The center offers war games, specifically Kingfish Ace, that bring together current major Air Force concepts such as ACE, Multi-Capable Airmen, and Mission Command in an actual hands-on way that really help airmen understand them. So let's dive in.
Hello, Sentinel Warriors. I'm Major General Mike Lutton, Commander of 20th Air Force at Kirtland Air Force Base. A team from the 377th Air Base Wing recently established the Stryker Wargaming Center to bring strategic wargaming to the installations, units, and beyond. Today, Master Sergeant Jesse Bechtel from the 377th Force Support Squadron is here to share more about the innovative approach to educating airmen about agile combat employment and how it is developing more strategic-minded airmen across Air Force Global Strike Command. Good afternoon, Master Sergeant Bechtel. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, General.
Super. And thanks for joining. Can you just kind of briefly talk to the listeners about what the Stryker Wargaming Center is and how it started?
So the Stryker Wargaming Center down here at Kirtland Air Force Base, it's a environment that we created and a location that we established to be able to bring strategic wargaming to the installations, units, and the airmen of all levels. And the idea actually came from when I went to a AATC Learning Professional Consortium, and they had a topic there about wargaming and really struck with me. And I came back to Kirtland and spoke with our AOS Commandant, or former AOS Commandant, Master Sergeant Charles Kirkendall. He's recently PCS to Cannon, but when we were talking about that topic, there was one game that stuck out really in particular. It was Kingfish Ace, and he had actually heard about it. And we got to talking more about it, and he reached down to the Barnes Center to see if we could get any contacts to how can we get that war game here at Kirtland. And they put us in contact with the Air Force Wargaming Institute. And when we linked up with them, we reached out, and they were really open to come and TDY out here to come teach us how to operate the game and be able to bring that capability to Kirtland. So when they came out here, we had 10 total force personnel come to that training, and now it's organic here. And that's where we really kind of got the start to the Stryker Wargaming Center, because once we became embedded within the wargaming community with Kingfish Ace here, that was just like the tip of the spear. Like, the success within this war game has really blown our mind, because within like this last 6 months, we've already had 10 war games go off, 138 people be playing this game within less than 12 hours, registration's full, and we got a waiting list. We're like, we're on to something here. Like, people really want to get into wargaming, and let's expand on this. So that's where we developed the Stryker Wargaming Center to really start adding more to that library of wargames.
Before we get too far into the wargaming, can you talk about what Kingfish Ace is? Like, what is it? Why that name? It's a very interesting name. And just describe for the audience, what was it about Kingfish Ace that you thought would be beneficial to not only your airmen at Kirtland Air Force Base, but airmen in Global Strike Command?
So Kingfish Ace was originally a war game designed by Colonel Troy Pierce while he was attending the Marine Corps War College. And while he was there, he had the option to either write a paper or develop a war game. As we see now, he took that option to develop a war game. And what really spoke out to me was, with agile combat employment, this war game really helps break down the logistics planning for it, the backwards planning, and just the importance of what it takes to start getting mission generation going. When they're playing the game, they really get to start seeing that tyranny of distance, the communication side, competition of resources. And when we brought it here, it really helps the airmen understand, like, what is their role within agile combat employment and within the multi-capable airmen piece as well, right? And to also answer the question, like, why is it called Kingfish Ace? Well, Kingfish Ace actually derives its lineage from our Vietnam heritage, where the tactical airlift control elements would use the call sign Kingfish after successfully opening an airfield. So that kind of ties into what they're doing in this game. Is you start off with your resources at your main operating base, and the situation, the road of war, is we got to get out there, disperse to survive, and set up that theater at forward operating sites across the theater. You know, once they do that, then they can start launching combat air power and mission generation to get after the game, to get the points, to be able to win the objective.
Okay, that's excellent. And it's great putting the history, Kingfish, with ACE, Agile Combat Employment. So when you bring it back to the base, what are the challenges that you encountered with actually getting this war game moving? So how do you introduce wargaming to your base?
So when we brought it here, we communicated it with our command chiefs. Kirtland, we have a 58th Special Operations Wing and of course the 377th Air Base Wing. And we got support from both sides, and Air Base Wing was very supportive with getting the TDY set up for the Air Force Wargaming Institute to come here. And the challenges that we were looking at was, how do we create the longevity of this? We don't want to establish the Kingfish Ace war game here and then people PCS, they leave, and then it just ends up fading away. So that's where like the Striker Wargaming Center comes into play, because we got our 10 cadre initially certified. So now when people come and they play this war game and they're interested, we invite them back, come back and play another game, get into it. And now you're more like an advisor to that team when you're playing with people that have never been here before. And then you become facilitator role. And then eventually you can actually start leading the game. So we have a whole development process from when you play the game to if you want to become a game master for that war game. And with that, our total force members of this game, the challenges we also have is because with Agile Combat Employment and the multi-capable airmen aspect of it, is that there are so many specialties and AFSCs that play a role within this concept that our team of cadre are from all different AFSCs. So when we're hosting games, we have people that are security forces, medical, flyers, different backgrounds, because the great part about Kingfish Ace is that the rules are vague for a reason, because we want problem solving, we want innovation and ideas to come about. But when people bring that up, if I don't know I'm security forces by background, if I don't know if that's a realistic approach to this, I'll go grab the guy who's a flyer, a maintainer, be like, is this realistic? Can they go through this option? And they're like, oh, absolutely. Like, I'm like, awesome. Good on you all for thinking outside the box and I'm trying to work through a multi-capable airman way or utilizing resources in different facets. So that was some of the challenges we dealt with. But also with that, we have a diverse cadre, but we also have the longevity now, because as we get games, we're getting more people added to that roster now.
And how many players? So many of the listeners have probably played a board game. And so when we talk about this, is this kind of similar to a board game, but it's a war game? And then are there sides? Can you describe, like, now we're sitting around a table and we're going to play Kingfish Ace. So how many players and how are the sides determined? And, you know, for airmen, what's winning look like? So what does winning mean for Kingfish Ace?
So the game is essentially a board game. It has the main map with the theater there, then your four teams representing the mobs. Each team can consist of about 5 personnel. We could go all the way up to 40 if we really want to add some complexity to the game. We found the comfortable level right now is 3 teams, 12 players total. And with that, when they're playing, they're trying to get those resources to the forward operating sites. But as they're doing that, they have challenges that they have to encounter, because there also be event cards and risk cards that create injects where, hey, aircraft is somebody wasn't using a spotter and they backed up into the aircraft, your aircraft is down for a turn. So now they got to overcome those challenges. There's maximum ground requirements for airfields. Some airfields they can't land on until they get a resting cable there or runway lighting. So they have a lot of challenges that they got to look at, and they have to do a lot of forward planning, because if they forget something that meets the requirements for what they need to do, they're going to be turns behind if they forget that one weather person. Now it's going to be huge implications, because what the ultimate goal is, they get this forward operating sites that have prerequisites on what is required to start launching sorties. So the way to get points in the game is to launch integrated combat turns, specialized refueling missions, conducting airfield assessments, and also a unique way that we play the game is we also incorporate host nation relations, can generate mission points. And the ultimate goal is that one of these teams gets 100 mission points total, and basically, yes, they're separate teams, but the ultimate goal is Team America wins the game. So sure. It doesn't matter if it was Kadena or Misawa that got to the 100 points first. We want to make sure we win.
Is there a player? You mentioned risk cards. How is the adversary emulated? Because clearly Agile Combat Employment is envisioned for pre and during hostilities, right? So how is the adversary represented in Kingfish Ace?
initially the game could be played over the course of real days. So what we've done here is we created kind of a beginner day where it's, we introduce you to ACE, MCA, how to play the game. And throughout the game days, the first day of the game is, hey, here's the scenario, here's the road to war, here's what we need to do. We let them go out there where we're not yet into conflict. And what we do in the beginner version of the day is that we control it and we say at day two, we have entered conflict, and we will give them a realistic scenario. We'll read the news or something like that and inject that into there. And conflict then turns into where now the enemy starts launching missiles. So the main operating bases and the forward operating sites will start being targeted, and then they'll start being struck. Once they're struck, then the runways are down unless they have runway repair kits. And if they get hit a certain amount of times, then they're inoperable. They can no longer use those runways. So that's where we really start seeing the ACE concept, because we will see players where, hey, you're targeted. They may not have gotten struck that turn, and they'll remain there for multiple turns. And we'll start seeing them almost building another mob. And then once they do get struck, they're stuck. And then that's when it starts clicking. It's like, I probably should have moved when I was targeted, because as the game progresses, it gets easier and easier for the enemies to start striking the bases, because they know you're there, you're launching operations. It's easy. They know that you didn't move. So that's where we start seeing them practice the ACE. Additionally, in further games, we can incorporate jamming and cyber attacks. And with the more advanced levels of the game, we can actually put people into separate rooms. So we could put each team into a separate breakout room within our wargaming center and be like, you guys can't even talk to each other and establish team connection until you have comm and C2 up. Mm-hmm. Or some of those risk and inject cards could be like, cyber attack happened, you no longer can talk to your forward operating sites. And what really we get to see this play out is in those more advanced games is that the role of the team leaders is at the main board controlling the movement of their aircraft. If they lose command and control with their forward operating sites and communication, they may have to start doing some mission command now, because they may know, hey, we can no longer land there, but we need to move this aircraft and divert it over here. But their other personnel might not know that until we get communications back up. So there's a lot of ways that we can incorporate the enemy's weapon assets or their tactics into the game. And that is the nice thing about this game, is that it is open to, like, what is our objective for the day? What do we want to get after? Do we want to really go after cyber attacks or jamming? Or do we want to focus more on mission command or the communication or just the ACE general concept?
So when we're answering the so what, we have a game. It's obviously critical to concepts that the United States Air Force is looking at as a global Air Force, right? Agile combat employment. So for the airmen there, when you answer the so what are you seeing in that developmental aspect for our airmen?
I think like we're really seeing it for the airmen is understand that agile combat employment when we get into the conflict aspect of the game, and they see that we have to start moving in the multi-capable airmen side where they start thinking about what is this going to look like if I'm assigned to an air task force, and what should I start learning with other AFSCs? How other AFSCs play in this role? Because when we do these games, and the teams are going to consist of people from airman basic all the way up to, we had colonels playing, to civilians. So they start that team aspect, and when they're playing with it, they hear, hey, this is what LRS's role is, or this is how medical plays a role in agile combat employment. So they start understanding, having an appreciation for the other AFSCs across the board.
And when you look at the Stryker Wargaming Center, is Kingfish ACE the primary game that you're utilizing, or are there other games or other developmental tools that are in the Stryker Wargaming Center?
Currently, Kingfish ACE is our primary war game, but we are currently pursuing other games, some that attack with the multi-domain operations. Also, some games we're working on with U.S. Space Force on some games that they have in their library. And we've been working on getting some top secret level games within the Stryker Wargaming Center. And then with even Kingfish ACE, we're trying to expand that game on more to add Bomber Task Force and the Bomber ACE concept into that war game.
And is there MAGCOM involvement at this time? Or because we have a studies and analysis director at our A9, do you see an opportunity for them to contribute if they're not contributing already?
Chief Master Sergeant Smith actually came down. She got to play a turn in the game, absolutely loved it. And we've been very lucky with the support that we've been getting with the Stryker Wargaming Center and with this war game, where people have been reaching out from multiple bases about how they can get it. And thankfully, like Kirtland, we're kind of in a unique installation where we have a lot of these base agencies that are involved within what Global Strike does. So they're able to help us out when we have our testing centers here, the research labs, inspection agencies, safety centers. So they've been getting involved, like, hey, how can we help you out with the development of your game? Because that's what we want. Like, when we're adding like Bomber Task Force, I want it to be realistic. I want it to be realistic storytelling on why we're there, how we're there. And so that way, when the airmen are leaving, like, things click. So we've been getting a lot of support from both MATCHCOM, but even just outside Air Force agencies. And Squadron Officer School, Air Force Wargaming Institute are still with talking to us back and forth about what are they doing with the game, other war games, and what can we do? Because we're also looking at developing just individual war games through some of these things that we're seeing that are needed to help explain doctrines on operational imperatives and other things that airmen can sit there and read it, but let's exercise it in a way that they can actually grasp it.
Excellent. And if you look at the Stryker Wargaming Center over a 12-month period, how many war games will you actually run? So how many turns of Kingfish Ace will you actually do?
I would say for looking at fiscal year 24, we're probably going to do at least 24. For Kingfish Ace alone, just that. But that is what's a great part about having the Stryker Wargaming Center is I'm the development advisor. That's a lot on my plate, but I have a team. And with that team now and having a permanent location for them to do it, they can run the stuff. They can get after it, all right? They can run Kingfish Ace game. I don't have to be there. They can hold that. When we get these other war games up and running, if they see a need for it, cool. Sign out the keys, get after and educate those airmen.
Excellent. And what's on the horizon for the Wargaming Center, for your Stryker Wargaming Center?
So for the Stryker Wargaming Center, really just getting our permanent location established more. We're really trying to take the war games up to higher levels with, especially with the Kingfish Ace one, like I was saying, with the whole adding the cyberness, the jamming, breakout rooms with these other war games. Like some of them are really going to need the breakout rooms to be able to really hit that intent with the old red versus blue scenarios. But that's really what we're trying to get after is grow our cadre, grow the library, and really expand the outreach for people to get in here.
That's excellent. And is there a feedback mechanism to the Air Force Wargaming Institute where they solicit feedback from you? Let's say you have 24 planned war games, you know, every 12 war games, you kind of do a lessons learned that you've seen, or is that not there yet?
We have an open communication and we do that automatically. So after like every 6 games or so, I'll just shoot in the feedback, and the feedback's been great because when they come in, it's on a scale of 1 to 5 with what they're familiar with ACE and MCA, and it's typically around the 1 to 2. But when they're leaving, it's about 4 or 5. And what we also do is communicate back to them, like, lessons learned. Like, what have we done that maybe made the game a little bit smoother, better, or just things that we're trying to incorporate and really make the game more advanced with any of these. So the communication has been awesome. It's been nice two-way.
What surprised you? So in the war games that you've done so far, is there a common lesson learned or a common element that you're like, okay, I wasn't anticipating this? That really kind of proves the benefit of the wargaming.
Honestly, like, what surprised me the most is just the appetite. I knew people would be into it and like it, but like, we have a wait list into 2024 right now between a list of airmen that want to play, but also units. We got units that are wanting specific games that meet specific objectives. And it's also a great team building event, because when they come here and we do like team building, the unit requested games, they'll make sure that there's not the same shops on the same team. So it makes them start understanding even in their own house, hey, this is what we do, and, you know, and help each other out. So definitely the appetite and desire to get into the wargaming. And I think the real big thing I see a lot of times too is just an appreciation for what goes on in that. We see a lot of times where turn one, everyone's trying to load up their aircraft with the resources. They take them to the main map. That's it. And they start moving stuff. And by turn three, they start realizing, like, we weren't keeping track of what aircraft has what, where, what aircraft is going where. So they really get appreciation for the backwards planning and also the forwards planning on like what we should have been sending 2 turns ago to be up and running, but we're behind now. So just a lot of understanding for the logistics side of things. And then the final thing would just be the host nation relations too piece, because we bring that into the game. And whenever you can't fly over certain nations or even land in certain nations, that really affects that tyranny of distance and trying to get the theater set up.
Yeah, and from your description of it, it would sound that this is a game that we could play with our allies and partners. So if we wanted to do team building, ally alliance partnership building, this Kingfish Ace is an example of that, that we could do at the unclassified level, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, kind of wrapping up, what do you want the airmen of Global Strike Command and 20th Air Force to know about the Stryker Wargaming Center and Kingfish Ace? So if you have one message on the Wargaming Center and a message on Kingfish Ace, what is that that you want the airmen in Global Strike and 20th Air Force to know?
For the Stryker Wargaming Center, understand, like, it's developed and it's here to help airmen understand doctrine and a hands-on approach in a group atmosphere. Rather than a briefing on these doctrines and concepts, personnel are immersed through a hands-on learning approach of executing. And we found that it truly does impact the comprehension of those topics. And for Kingfish Ace, it really helps airmen understand their roles within agile combat employment, multi-capable airmen, how they really fit into that big picture, and really helps them learn about the other AFSCs, build connections, and emphasize a total force collaboration.
Excellent. Master Sergeant Bechtel, I really appreciate your leadership and the things you're doing to develop our airmen, both officer, enlisted, and civilian. Thanks for your leadership, and thanks again for participating in 20 for 20, discussing Kingfish Ace and the Stryker Wargaming Center at Kirtland Air Force Base. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of 20 for 20. We'll catch you next time.